Appreciate that. Very, very good song. Proverbs chapter 1, where we're at tonight. Book of Proverbs chapter 1. And we are working our way through the book of Proverbs, still kind of in some introductory parts of it, really, as we go through here. And learning about wisdom and the skills for life as we go through and finding out what we can learn as we go through our life. And Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to finish chapter 1, Lord willing, tonight and work our way through. And next week will be the Wednesday right before Christmas. And I think, I talked to a couple folks about this, I think what we might try to do, we'll still meet, but we may try to do some caroling and go visit some folks that may be some of our shut-ins and just kind of divide up a little bit and do some caroling that way. And there's two reasons for that. I like caroling, and I enjoy that, and I think it'd be a good time of the year to do that. And also, I have no idea where I'm going to be during that time, because we may be having a baby, we may be done, I don't know. So if we are, then you guys can come carol to us. You can just come down to the hospital, and we'll be there. No. But anyway, so it'll be fun. If we do have a baby, and if things work out well, we may... Well, we are going to have a baby. Not if. Okay, we are having a baby. Okay, if the baby's here and everything's great, then we may end our caroling over at our house, and maybe everyone can see the baby there. I don't know if y'all would want to even do that or not, but, you know, whatever. We'll see. Okay, so but tonight we're in Proverbs chapter 1, so we'll get closer to that as we get there. So Proverbs chapter 1, starting here in verse 20, and I'll read here and then we'll get into the message tonight. Proverbs chapter 20, or chapter 1 and verse 20, I think that's where I am. It says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." We're going to look at turn to wisdom now, is what we're going to preach on tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that you've given us. I thank you for this church and the faithful folks of it, Lord, and just the encouragement they've been to us. And God, I pray tonight as we look at this very important passage here in the book of Proverbs that you would help us to take it to heart, to understand the very stern warning that's given and the encouragement that goes along with it as well. Help us to be prepared in our hearts to make change in our life as you speak to us, and to tuck these lessons away for a time when it may be very, very necessary for us to use them, Father. Just help us to seek wisdom tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. When is the best time to start thinking about your health? Okay. Yeah, now. Now is the time. Not when you go to the doctor and they say, wow, you should have been eating better the last however many years, or you really need to lose some weight, or you need to watch your sugar, or you need to do that. Yeah, now is the time, right, to do that. I remember when I turned 30 years old here just a few years ago. It was my birthday's in April. Around January of that year, I was 29, and I started thinking about it, and I thought, I don't feel old, but I know that I'm getting there, and I know that, as you get to your 30s or so, is when you kind of start to, you know, up until that point, everything's just, you're great. Everything's awesome. And I still feel great. But it kind of levels out from what I hear. You don't notice it until you hit some age where it just starts going down. And you guys are looking at me saying, you are still young. You have no idea. I know. I don't feel all. I feel great. But around that time, I thought, you know what? I need to start thinking about this, because if I could build some good habits in my life now, then I wouldn't even be thinking about it, and maybe I can just push that ahead a little more. So I started running and stuff, and I haven't been that faithful at it, but that was the idea. Like, let's get ready now, and maybe it'll help. Andy's shaking his head. No, it's not going to help. It's going to make me older faster. But that's the principle. You want to think about it now instead of when it's too late. When is the best time to fill your car up with gas? Yeah. Now, some of you are very faithful. That thing gets below halfway and you fill it up, and that's probably wise. I have not always been that way. When I was in college, I had the weirdest job I had. I was a paramedic. That's weird, but not as weird. And I had the license, but I was in between some jobs, and I needed to find a good job, and I wanted to find a job where I could use that license, because it would be hopefully a better paying job. And somehow I connected with this company that worked for like a third party, and they worked with insurance companies. I guess I have connections in the business. I don't know. It wasn't a very good one, though, because it was a horrible job. But my job would be to go to the homes of different people that were applying for life insurance, usually very high dollar life insurance, and I would take their blood and do some vitals just to make sure they were healthy. I didn't exam. I just sent off the stuff, but you had to be licensed to draw blood. It was the most awkward job I ever had, going to people I don't know, finding their house, going in their house, poking them with the needle, and leaving. It was weird. It was just weird. And I do not have very good directions. I'm not even as good with directions as Brother Tom is. I'm bad. And so yeah, it's unfortunate. And so I was in Oklahoma City, and that was before the days of GPS and things. And I used so much gas trying to go from place to place. But Oklahoma City has a lot of cheap gas stations in different places if you know where they are. And one day I'm driving along, and it had been on empty for a while. And I remember, I don't remember if Mom and Dad remember this, I was talking to them on the phone, I think, as I'm driving, and my car died in traffic in Oklahoma City. And I'm there, and it's totally empty. And I think, oh, great. I was like, I think I just ran out of gas. Of course, my mom's panicking and my dad's laughing. So I pull over into this parking lot. I'm right across from the gas station that has the cheap gas. But I have to cross, like, you know, lanes of traffic. And I'm sitting there thinking, how am I going to do this? And I thought, if it would just start. And I don't know why I'm still on the phone driving a standard out of gas in traffic, but, you know, it goes with being young and dumb. And so it started, and I crossed over and just coasted right up to the pump. It was the most greatest day of my life there. Now, I would love to tell you that was the last time I ever ran out of gas, and after that, every time that light came on, I just stopped. But unfortunately, there have been stories I'm not going to tell after that. And whose fault is it when you run out of gas? It's mine. Yeah. The car has a red line where the needle goes. It has a light that comes on. Some of them have alarms that go off, you know, and things that says, you better. So some of them have the thing that says, how many miles until empty? And when it starts getting into the negatives, then you're, you know, you need to be done. But it's still so hard, isn't it? When you're going to Childress and the cheap gas is there, and you know you can save a nickel on that gas if you can just get over there. And it's the dumbest thing, and some of you maybe struggle with that too. Where it's like, am I going to fill up here or get some gas here and go in there? Ah. And so, but you know what? You don't want to end up halfway over there. The time to fill up is now. That's when we want to. At least that's the principle anyway. If you're stuck in between here and there, it's your own fault. It's my own fault, because we should have done that before. What we read here is the time for wisdom. The time to pay attention to wisdom is now. Is right now. There are times in our life where we may think we've got plenty of time ahead and different things like that, but what we see here is that wisdom is a very urgent matter. It's something that needs to be addressed very, very quickly. And wherever you are in your life, it's important to focus on wisdom and to make wise choices, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're experienced, or whether you have no experience, wherever that is, wherever we are, the time to focus on that is right now while it's talking to us, because if we don't tuck those lessons away, then we'll suffer the consequences for it, and that's what we're going to look at here tonight. So far in the book of Proverbs, we've seen that Proverbs is a life skill. We're to understand life. This is still in kind of the introductory section of the book of Proverbs. Solomon is going to get into some very specific things here later. But right now, he's just giving us some principles. We've learned that in order to have wisdom, we learned in verse 7 that we have to fear the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge, and that's where it all starts. And we learned about the value of wise counsel, getting wise counsel, and then as those that have other people following in our footsteps, it's important to pass that on to the next generation as well. Wisdom is very important. It's something we have to invest in and to invest in the lives of others as well. But tonight, we're going to look here that wisdom begins. We meet this woman here in verse 20, and it's Lady Wisdom, and she's speaking everywhere. She's declaring with a loud voice these words of wisdom, and this is a personification. It's a big word, but personification of wisdom. This isn't an actual person. It's not an actual person that Solomon is talking about. This is just using kind of a metaphor, kind of a picture, that here's this woman named Wisdom, and she is declaring these truths. She's not using her inside voice, okay? She is declaring truths, kind of like Jack usually speaks in his very loudest outside voice all the time. We're having to work on that. But Lady Wisdom is a very loud person. And it's interesting because Solomon uses a woman to describe this. And some of you men are thinking, yeah, because she has a loud mouth. I just thought of that, and that's not what I was going to say. Okay, that's not why. I think the point here is that it's very unusual in their culture for a woman to be standing out in the street saying something that would be good. We'll read about a woman that was in the street in Proverbs chapter 7. She was the wrong kind of woman. But in their culture, usually it would be very unusual for a woman to be out giving this kind of instruction, and just all the more reason to say how very specific wisdom is. She's very specific, and she has a very specific message. This is not just for the house of God. It's not just at the church house that wisdom gives instruction. This isn't just for those that go to synagogue and maybe hear some wise words from the Torah. No, this is right out there. Right out there. In fact, it says here, in the streets, in the chief place of concourse, at the openings of the gates. It's describing the marketplace as you'd walk into a city during that time, and you'd have all your vendors out there selling their wares and all kinds of things. She is right smack dab in the middle of that. And it's not limited to just a select few. She's not taking people aside and saying, you know, come over here to this table, sit down, let me instruct you. No, she's just throwing it out there. For everyone, for businessmen who come through, she's instructing them. For farmers who may come through that maybe don't have the education of them and have been out there in the field, she's talking to them. For the student who comes in, is going back and forth from school, still figuring out their life, she's talking to them. To the five-year-old, like even Simon, she's talking to him because, you know, five-year-olds are learning habits, aren't they? They're learning good habits or bad habits. She's giving instruction to them. To the old person, she's giving instruction to them. To the retired group, she's talking to them. She's giving instruction, just throwing it out there for everyone to hear. She's not picky about who hears what she has to say. It's going to everyone. She's crying without. She's uttering her voice. And here's what she says. She cries out to everyone that's in different areas of their journeys of life. In verse 22, she says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" Now, we've heard of some of these people already. She talks about the simple. And we talked about the simple before, how this is a person who's just kind of, their mind is just kind of a blank slate. Okay? You might say they're just, well, simple, aren't they? They're just kind of empty. They don't really understand much, that they'll believe everything and they'll investigate nothing. They just kind of take whatever comes in. They just live the simple life. And she says, "How long are you going to live there, simple one? How long are you just going to go and just take whatever comes and just, you know, Hakuna Matata, whatever, just whatever happens, no worries, no problem. I'm just going through my life. How long are you going to stay there, simple ones? That's what she says. And then she talks about these scorners, and we meet them here, the scorners. Now, they're the opposite, because the simple ones just kind of out there, you know. The scorner knows everything. Well, he thinks he does, okay. He knows it all. And he knows, he really doesn't know much, but he acts like he knows everything. And he's it says here, he delights in his scorning. You know, he's the one that whenever she gives instruction, he'll be like, well, actually, no, that's not really right. I know better than that. And he likes to sit there on his knowledge and feel puffed up about it. And she says, how long are you gonna go down that path, scorner? And then she mentions the fool, which is probably one of the darker characters of the book of Proverbs. We're going to see them later. The fool is the person who has chosen a path away from God. They've chosen to separate themselves from the fear of God and just to go on their own way. And she says, and how long, you know, you fool, how long are you going to hate knowledge and just hate the ways of wisdom? And so she's here. She's giving this instruction, and some people are just kind of passing by. You can just kind of picture this. She's there just yelling these different things out, and some people just walk on by. And really, when you look at the metaphor here, all of us are on a journey, aren't we? We're all going through life, some different paths, some different paces, some at different stages. But every one of us are making our way through life, and to everyone, she says in verse 23, to turn. Turn you at my reproof. Whatever path you're going on, whether you're just wondering like the simple, whether you're just headed down a direction you know where you're going, but it's wrong like the scorner, or maybe you're running away from something like the fool, whatever path you're on, she says, turn, turn, turn aside and come this way. A fool, every type of fool needs to come to a point in their life where they realize that God's way is right and I've been wrong and I need to get off this path and turn and accept wisdom and apply wisdom and adjust my life accordingly, not just head on down that way like a stubborn person. I need to be very careful. Now, this lady wisdom is not like a billboard, like someone just holding a sign for people to just kind of passively see. I've got a sign in my front yard over here. A lady in our old church over in Ohio, she gave us that as we left, and it's kind of a joke because she has those Bible verse signs everywhere, all over her van, all over her. If she had her own house, she lives with my pastor and his wife, and she'd have them like multiple ones in her yard, but he's limited her to one. He said, Granny, we're going to have one Bible verse sign in our yard because she would just fill it up with those. She's just that kind of person. So I brought one and stuck it out there, and it's just there for folks to see, for, you know, to do that. But this lady isn't just standing there holding a sign saying, you know, if you want to read this, that's fine. It says that she's crying with a loud voice. She's making it very clear. Have you ever noticed that whenever someone goes down a wrong path, they get caught and maybe they're bad choice? Students are this way a lot. And Colton, maybe you've seen kids in your school where they'll show up, not you, of course, but the other kids, where, you know, the teacher will say, let's turn in your projects. It's the end of the semester. And they'll give them this look like, I didn't know we had a project. Does anybody ever do that? Sure. No, don't say that. Just the other kids, not you. Yeah, it's like, I didn't know. Now, maybe they knew, maybe they didn't, but that's the easiest thing in the world, isn't it? To say, well, I didn't know. That's what I said. If you look at how wisdom is speaking here, it's impossible for someone to go through here and be like, oh, was she saying something? I didn't know. No. It's kind of like, you know those doors, the side doors in maybe a Walmart or a store or something where it's an emergency exit. It has a little crash bar and a giant red sign that says, do not enter, alarm will sound. You know, like if you push that, an alarm's going to go off. A person that could not possibly go and be like, oh, the alarm. I didn't know. In order to open that door, you have to push the thing that says, don't push the thing. Or it says something like that, right? You know not to push that or the alarm's going to sound. And they do that so you don't accidentally do it. You know, you can't accidentally go through there. And probably somebody's gone through there and said, oh, I didn't know. Read the sign, right? A person cannot possibly go and make a wreck out of their life and say, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do that because Lady Wisdom is here saying, listen, here's what's going to happen. Here is instruction. Here is wisdom. Make the right choice. I love what one commentator said. He said, wisdom is not some hidden treasure that has to be dug from the depths of the earth or the sole possession of a lonely sage sitting on top of a mountain. To the contrary, wisdom roams the streets looking for someone to instruct. Now, in some ways, that kind of sounds contradictory, because we read earlier at the very beginning of the chapter that the words of the wise in verse 6 and their dark sayings, that sometimes we have to figure these things out. And I understand sometimes the depths of wisdom, it does take some work to understand. But as far as the principles that are out there, she's out there looking for someone to tell. She's out there trying. I think every one of us could agree that as we've gone through life, common sense and wisdom has been right there. Now, we may not have chosen to listen to it, but it's right there. In order to choose the path of the fool, we had to just push right through that crash bar and just ignore it completely. And that's what, unfortunately, often happens. So let's look at what happens. Evidently, the vast majority of folks refuse the call to wisdom. And they continue down a path of, unfortunately, of foolish living. And the consequences are unavoidable. Look what she says here. She says, because I've called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. She says, you've refused this. You've taken it, and you've not regarded the counsel I've given you. She says, ye have set at naught all of my counsel. That refers to just letting it slip through your hands, like a balloon. You take a balloon and just kind of let it go. You let it slip through. And she's saying, you've taken my counsel, and you've just let it slip right on by. You had it, but you just let it go. And now here you are. And she says, verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. Now, when I read that, I'm thinking, wow, what a heartless woman. You know, here she is, just, I'm going to laugh at you when everything falls apart. Now, you got to understand the kind of the perspective here. She's not saying she's going to, you know, kick sand in your face while you're down and just mock at you and things like that. It's kind of the idea that she saw this coming. You ever watch the old, Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello or the Three Stooges, those guys, the age of slapstick where it was just the funniest thing in the world where guys just beat each other on the head. I don't know. It was just whatever. And you watch as they go through some elaborate thing that they're doing, and I should have watched some so I'd have a fresh illustration. That would be good research for sermons. But you know, here they are, and they're working on something, and you can just see what's happening. I mean, they are setting themselves up for a blunder, a horrible blunder, and you just watch, and you're just waiting for it to all fall apart, and somehow it just hangs on and just gets worse and worse until eventually it all just blows up, and then they honk their nose or whatever it is that they do and stuff like that. And it's funny because you see it coming. Like, you see this coming. Like, how can you not see this happening? And it's funny when you watch that. But when people wind up in destruction because of wisdom, it's not funny. And Lady Wisdom looks at this and it's like, I saw this coming. I could see it happening. And now it happened. And here you are like, oh, I don't understand. How did it happen? And she says that your fear is going to come like a desolation. She says your destruction like a whirlwind, like a tornado coming through and just turning everything upside down. And unfortunately, when folks do not follow the path of wisdom, they find themselves in a place where everything is destroyed. And so many stories of people, even in our own lives, I'm sure we could each give personal testimony of things in our own life where we chose our own path and the consequences are unavoidable. And there, what she's saying is there will be a time, no matter how great it may seem for a while, there will be a time when you're going to wish that you'd listened. There's going to be a time when you're stuck somewhere between here and Childress, and you're going to wish that you'd got that gas and spent that nickel, and it's not really worth it, and you're going to wish that you had taken advantage of wisdom whenever you had it. Now, we know with Christ there is forgiveness of sin, and certainly we are grateful for the grace of God, but there's always consequences. Even for forgiven sin, there's always things that we have to carry through our life. There's always baggage that we're going to have to take with us. And we say, well, how did this happen? How did I get here? Well, she explains why in verse 29. She says, they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. The word hate there means to be unappealing. It means there was something more appealing than wisdom. At the time, you knew, here's Lady Wisdom, she's giving warnings, she's giving instructions, and at the time, here it is. But there was something else that caught your eye. There was a group of friends, or there was, you know, a pretty face, or there was a good time, or there was whatever it might have been that kind of was more appealing than the way of knowledge, than the fear of the Lord. And really, when you look at it, all foolish choices are a choice against God, because wisdom is the fear of God. And so when we choose against that, we're going to have the consequences. There's biblical examples all over the place. Think of Cain. Remember when Cain brought the sacrifice, God did not accept because his heart was not right with God. And God said, listen, if you do well, you will be accepted. You know, you will be accepted, but you have to get your heart right. He was being Lady Wisdom right there, was hollering out her voice, lifting up her voice. And what did he do? Did he get things right? No. He turned and went, and he turned away from wisdom, went down his own path. And at the end, when God was dealing out his punishment, he says, this is too much for me to bear. He sure wished then that he could have gone back and changed, but he didn't. Think of Lot. We're going to study Lot here in a few weeks as we work our way through the book of Genesis. But Lot, right there in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, he was actually kidnapped by a band of kings that had gotten together to take over the city. His uncle Abram has to come and rescue him. And after the rescue, after you would think he would realize, I've been in the wrong place, I need to get back where I need to be, he just moves right back in and just waits right there until eventually God has to rain down, you know, fire and brimstone and pull him and his family out. He loses everything. I mean, he loses everything except for two daughters, and you know how that turned out. And just an awful situation. But he really, when you think about it, he brought it all on himself, didn't he? It was his choices. He had been given instruction. He'd been given knowledge, but he turned away from it. We could talk about Samson disgracing his parents and choosing women over righteousness. The people of Noah's day that mocked him and laughed him and refused to turn, even though they knew that judgment was coming. And in the end, they wished that they had changed. They weren't laughing when the waters came down. There was a problem, and they didn't choose the path of wisdom. So listening to wisdom, we're going to see here verse 33, listening to wisdom will spare your life. She says, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, that doesn't say that if you follow the path of wisdom, then you'll escape all of life's circumstances. No, there's still going to be issues in our life. I mean, we're still going to, you know, grow old, and we may get feeble, and there may be people that get, you know, diseases and things. We still have to pay taxes. There's still going to be illness. We're still going to deal with weather. The circumstances of life are just part of being a human. You're never going to escape that. But what you will escape is the consequences of sin. Because if you follow the path of wisdom, she says, then you will dwell safely. You will be protected from all the other things that the fools of this world are dealing with. The problems that the fools are bringing upon themselves. The person that's going down the way of the wise, that's following Lady Wisdom, their life is quiet from fear of evil. Their life is in peace and safety. I mean, there's the normal things of life. They're not going to be minus the circumstances, but they will not have to deal with the consequences of sin. So what Lady Wisdom is telling us tonight is that it is better to walk in the way of wisdom now than to live in the path of regret later. Now, that's back here in the book of Proverbs. Today, wisdom is still speaking, though, isn't it? I mean, there's still wise instruction that's coming through. And if we will apply the way of wisdom to our life, then we will live to rejoice in it. The concept of sowing and reaping, I heard a preacher mention this week. The concept of sowing and reaping is a positive thing. If you want good things in your life, and you sow the seeds of good things, then you will reap the seeds of good things. I mean, that it's not. We often look at that in a negative light, like, oh, you reap what you sow. You're going to sow bad things. You're going to get bad things. But in the same way, if we sow the seeds of wisdom, and if we walk in the path of knowledge and instruction, like the Bible teaches, then we will reap those good things as well. At the same time, if we turn a deaf ear to wisdom and ignore her, then we will live to regret it. Every single time, we will regret it. There's so many ways to apply this, and I'm not going to certainly hit every area, but coming off of being a youth pastor, the thing that we constantly think about with young people is the idea of purity. Everybody knows. I mean, it's very common, of course. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure for marriage. And we teach our kids, we teach our grandkids, we try to raise them, and even with my kids, as young as they are, trying to help them understand there's certain things we don't look at. There's certain reasons why we keep our eyes off of those things, and just trying to help raise them in the world that we live in to be pure. And that's not always easy, but we want to protect them, and we want to encourage our young folks, as you get into a relationship, protect yourself, protect that other person's purity and things. And we know that. But so many times, it gets set aside, doesn't it? It gets set aside for whatever reason. There's something else that's more appealing, and every single time, there will be regret. Every time. There will always be regret when you come off the path of wisdom. We need to make sure that we're instructing our young people that. And make sure that they know that. And there are people in this room who would probably say, yeah, you preach that hard because I've made mistakes, or I have regrets, and there's things I wish I would have done differently. Every one of us probably could say that. And yet, sometimes we just, we don't want to push them in that. Well, hang on. We need to make sure that we understand that it is so important, because there are consequences to going off of the path of wisdom. But in marriage, we could talk about the same thing, the responsibilities that a husband has. As husbands, I have a choice. I can choose the path of wisdom. I can choose the path of what the Bible says I'm supposed to do as a husband, to love my wife and to give attention to her and to honor her. That's what I'm supposed to do. But sometimes we choose maybe the path of selfishness and kind of ignore her or disregard her. Maybe just kind of spend time in my own little world, or get bitter against her, or whatever that may be. Let the tension in the relationship just build up and ignore it, and maybe it'll go away. And sometimes as husbands, we choose that path. We'll live to regret it. We always will. And wives, God gives ladies instructions as well to love your husband and to honor him and to be an encouragement and a blessing to him, and you know, to encourage your man. And that's what God commands the wife. If we do our part in a marriage to cultivate, that's kind of a gardening term, you know, to work on that marriage and to invest in it in the way of wisdom, in the path of wisdom that God has outlined for us very clearly. And sometimes our culture criticizes those things, but if we do just what the Bible says, then we will live to rejoice in that, to have a wonderful marriage. And that's what God wants us to have as we raise kids. And I'm right in the middle of this, and as I study through this, the Lord kind of stepped on my toes a little bit, because sometimes as we're raising kids, it's tempting to just kind of kick it on down the road a little bit. Say, well, I'm not going to deal with this right now because they're driving me crazy. And, you know, believe it or not, sometimes kids do that. And so, you know, it takes a lot of work to be consistent and to discipline kids, doesn't it? And that's what happens. And sometimes it's tempting to say, well, you know, I'm just gonna kind of wait on down the road a little bit. But as parents, if I apply this to my life and read this right here, it says that the time to use wisdom in parenting is now. Because what happens if I just let that go a few years? Well, it'll be easier when they're in elementary school. Well, it'll be easier when they're teenagers. It'll be easier down here. I don't think so. Because if what the Bible says is true, and what many of you can tell me is true, that the time to work on that is right now as we're going through life. And as we do that, that's very important. We end up in financial problems. How did I get here? Well, probably because at some point we turned off the path of wisdom, didn't we? We got into some debt that maybe we shouldn't have, or we made a choice that we shouldn't have. And somewhere back along the line, there was the voice of reason crying without, saying, this probably is not a good idea. And maybe it was a spouse, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was just your conscience, common sense, saying this is not a wise decision. But so many times we just choose to go otherwise. And I remember being in church, and it hasn't happened as much here, but over in Ohio, we'd have people call every single week saying, I don't have any money for this, and I don't have any money for that. And sometimes there's genuine needs, but when a person pulls up and you know they got several empty packs of cigarettes sitting there and all these other things going on, and they're spending their money somewhere, you know, I'm not trying to be ugly about it, but you see the path that they've chosen, you think, man, somewhere down the line they started making a bad choice, and now they're regretting it. I'll bet they wish they'd gone back and had made a different choice at that point. But we can't be picky on them when we don't listen to the voice of reason in our own life either. We have to be careful. Wisdom says, I was calling earlier. We need to stop. When wisdom is calling, stop and then turn. There's two places where turn is mentioned here. In verse 23, where she tells the simple ones and the scorners and the fools, she says, turn, stop, just turn off and listen and change your ways. But the tragic end is in verse 32, where she says, the turning away of the simple ones shall slay them. Because those that were listening, they were right there, but they said, nah, I'd rather turn and do my own thing. They're going to regret it. You can live to rejoice in the path of wisdom, or you can live to regret. So as we look at this tonight, it's a very simple concept, and there's so many ways to apply this in our life. I'll just leave that to you and the Holy Spirit. But are you close to a decision in your life that you're getting ready to make that you're going to regret and you know it? Because sometimes we'll get there. We'll get to that point. And if not now, then maybe here soon, we'll get to a point in our life, every one of us will, where there's a decision we're getting ready to make in the back of your mind and thinking, I'm probably going to regret this. Well, then the time to use wisdom is now, isn't it? Maybe you have people in your life that are making those choices. And maybe God's using you to be the voice of wisdom to them, to say, hey, look at where this is going. And, you know, maybe they'll listen, maybe they won't. But we need to listen to wisdom while we still can, because it is always better to walk in the way of wisdom now. Whatever we have to do to change to get in that path, it's always better to walk in the way of wisdom now than to live in the path of regret later, isn't it? Always. The time for wisdom is now. Let's bow our heads for just a quick word of prayer. We're going to go into just a brief prayer time here in just a second. I'm not going to have an actual invitation tonight, but let's take a moment just there between you and the Lord as we close out the preaching time. And I have no idea. Maybe you're dealing with some areas in your life right now that would not be a wise direction. Or maybe there are some people close to you that are dealing with some things like this. And just take a moment between you and the Lord and commit to choose wisdom. Commit to make the wise choice. Maybe it means to just stay on the path that you're on, the path of wisdom. Maybe it means to switch over and to turn. And be specific. Don't just ask the Lord to give you wisdom. If there's a decision that maybe needs to be changed, and again, like I said, I don't know, but between you and the Lord, if that's an area of your life right now that the Lord would put His finger on, that the Holy Spirit would say, you know what you need to do, then turn that over to the Lord, even now, as we just take a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for Your word that You've given us. And Lord, some passages like this, you can just hear the desperation in Your voice, Father, as You are the Father of wisdom and You are the one that we ultimately are answering to here. And Lord, how it must break Your heart to watch us so often just make our way through life and to go down a path that You know is going to end in destruction and in regret. Lord, I pray that You would help us to choose wisely and to get off maybe the path that we're on, to get some wise counsel, to do whatever it takes to turn and to get back in the direction that we need to go. That's probably going to be a lot harder than what it sounds like when we say it. But Lord, I thank You for Your grace that You give us to do right and for helping us as we make those choices, Lord. I just pray that You would help us to live to rejoice, to make choices that we will rejoice in later instead of paths that we would regret later. Lord, help us all to stay on that path and to be wise and to be faithful, Lord. Lord, we just ask Your blessing now as we go into a time of prayer requests and things as we go from here in Jesus' name. Amen.